Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, you're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez, you got Figgy Fig, you have myself, Reginald Atitula, and for one more segment on a Tuesday, you've been blessed by B. Scott from Hiram Clark.
Bonus B. Scott from Hiram Clark.
You love to see it.
Glad
you really
to do,
do
it, man. Well, we got important stuff to talk about, though, because this Nico Collins thing is big news. It was the thing that I wrote about yesterday from the press conference, like Nico Collins.
Where can we find that?
And it's just on sportsradio610.com, of course.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, of course, the Odyssey app, all of those places, same places where you can find the In the Loop podcast segments that Figgy puts together for you so nicely, all of that.
I love to see it.
I didn't know you had that on cue. Look at Figgy back there. I should have known.
Super producer.
I should have known, man. But it is a big deal. I know it's just he's week to week and it doesn't feel like that's a big headline.
Mm-hmm.
But underneath that is basically the admission that he probably will not be available to you, not just in this game, but probably the next two games.
Yeah.
But at the very least this game, because we know these hamstring injuries are not just a small time or a short time thing, I should say.
Let's hear it from the horse's mouth. This is D'Amico Ryan talking about Nico Collins' availability.
Yeah, Nico, he's in good spirits. Of course, with the hamstring, it takes a couple weeks for a hamstring, so we'll evaluate that, you know, on a week-to-week basis to see when we can get him back.
How do you replace what he's brought to you all this season?
Yeah, missing Nico would be very difficult. Like, Nico has been the best receiver in the NFL this year, so do you replace him? No, everybody just steps up and whatever role you're asked to do, just step up and play your role the proper way. Nobody has to go out and be Nico, right? There's one Nico. He's done a great job of that. Now whoever is next, when your number is called, make the plays that you're supposed to make. He's attacking his rehab the right way. Our staff will help him get back right when that right time is.
Yeah, everybody can't just come in and be the boogeyman. But first of all, just John, like, let's get into it. What is this Texans offense without Nico Collins? Because the way that it sounded, one, as you mentioned, maybe even two, with the hamstring. I mean, what are we looking at here, man?
Well, first of all, I hate when someone says good spirits because it always, the connotation is always like,
he's down bad.
Oh my gosh.
Down like, horrendous.
Who died?
He's eating through a straw. You know, it's like,
or somebody died. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, that's like, sad.
Exactly.
Don't tell me, like, I know his heart was in the right place, but I don't want to hear he's in good spirits. I mean, that's what they said about my mom, you know, when she was on her deathbed. I mean, it's awful, but I get it. It's good spirits. Now, how do they respond?
The underlining of the good spirits is that something bad is
happening. Something bad has happened.
Yes. I might be on a different page from you guys. As he said, you don't replace that.
Yeah.
But I think you're in a place where you have some pieces that can fill that role. Like, keep in mind, you know, Nico was perfectly healthy going into this game. So they did all these things on the fly. You know, and I know they've practiced it and all this other stuff, but like, I think Stephon might get a bigger role.
Yes.
I think Tank Dell might be able to be the guy that stretches the field a little more.
Maybe.
I think Xavier Hutchinson has more than proved his worth. Forget John Mechie. Sorry, I love you, but you know, he can't be in the equation at this point.
He got three snaps after Nico Collins left.
But right? but I will say everybody's gonna have to bump up a little bit.
No,
here,
no, look,
right?
Again, so like, Nico is just in another hemisphere.
Yeah,
but I think they have if you can take it anywhere, you know, maybe this position.
So I'm actually excited about it from this standpoint.
Ooh, excitement
and. It's probably just the way that I'm trying to, because I mean, let's just keep this in context here. Nico Collins, all right. CJ Stroud during the offseason called him a generational talent, and we were like, man, look at CJ having his boys back there, bigging up his mans. You know, like, you know, Nico Collins, really good player. But
he knew.
He said Lisano Gaib.
He did.
My mans was on to something.
Yes.
Like he it seems like Nico Collins is, like he said, generational talent, Andre Johnson type of player. What does Nico Collins look like this year?
That
generation
very
talent.
Very Dre-like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like, let's give him credit for that. Leading the league in receiving yards, leading the league in catches for first downs. Only four receivers have been targeted more than Nico Collins this year. Like, he is one of those dudes, that dude in the league right now. So like, I don't want to make it seem like there is another even version of that. Like Lopez said a minute ago,
you can't. I mean,
he's in another space right now.
Yeah.
100%.
And when the head coach is acknowledging that right off bat, like, because, you know, coaches are not going to be frequently willing to tell you that, oh, yeah, no, This is just going to be different. Like, it's going to be a step down. And so for a coach to acknowledge right off the bat, yeah, we're not expecting anybody to go and be that guy.
I'm sensing that you, Reggie, feel like it will be a big hit. I think it's a hit, but I think they can withstand it.
Well, it was a clear distinction within that game the offense was different.
Yeah. It's an obvious hit. That's not even the argument I want to try to make, that it's not a hit. What I'm trying to say is, with Tank Dell, we've had this conversation throughout the first 4 to 5 weeks of the season, or let's just count the games that Tank has played in. I know he missed one. Tank Dell, how do you get him more involved? How do you tap more into the Tank Dell that we felt like we were on the way of seeing last year before his leg was broken?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so to me, this is not addition by subtraction, but it is an opportunity to unlock something in Tank Dell. And to Lopez's point about stretching the field, that is a thing. Nico Collins has turned into a do-it-all type.
Yes,
you can go to him underneath, you can hit him in the scramble drill, he can take the top off of defense, as we saw him do in this game, right? Like the play that he got injured on,
67 yards.
The play that started the Indianapolis Colts regular season game to end the season last year,
75 yards.
So like it is there. But Tank has that in him as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is an opportunity to feature him in that way. And so to your point, Lopez, and this is where I think you and I are on the same page. They have enough pieces to withstand that. And then you think about Stephon Diggs and how he factors into that. Well, there's your underneath guy.
Mm-hmm.
You still got Robert Woods, who I know a lot of people kind of roll their eyes at and say, why is Robert Woods still on this team?
Consummate veteran.
There is an example of why. Because you needed depth somewhere, and you needed the most reliable guys behind the guys at the top.
Yeah.
Because you knew at least one of them, between Nico, Tank, or Stephon Diggs, somebody was going to get injured at some point. You were not likely to play 17 games with all three of them. So now what does it look like when the guy who's emerged as the best of them this year so far, at least Nico Collins, when he's out, and then one of them has had to take a back seat, if you will,
yes,
for whatever reason, just has not been as involved or as electric as you want him to be. Well, now's the time.
Yeah, for some reason, my brain is consistently, and I say this with all due respect to all parties involved, thought about Tank Dell as the Chris Bosh of the big three here, right? Yeah. Like where he's had to have his role shifted a little bit and become a star in a different role in order for everybody else to succeed, right? And yes, this will give him an opportunity to do more. I think our guy, Clint Sterner, said on the drive yesterday, right? Like, you look at the wide receiving core that you had in the second half of this game against the Bills, and it's better than what you had in the playoffs, right? Like, it's better than what you had in that situation, right? And so I still think that that's good. And I'm glad that you guys are so positive, because it allows me to be negative comfortably. While also appreciating understanding. Stephon Diggs, still a number one wide receiver. He showed that in this game. He does all of those things, making tough passes, all of that. Tank Dell, I think that you can use him in the big play situations like you did with Nico Collins, right? On that 67-yard pass up the middle, right? You have that. What I'm concerned about, and I thought about this during the second half of that Bills game, there is a clear lack of somebody with the connection with C.J. Stroud on third downs. And this is going to tie into something we talk about even more at 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
First and second down, you've been lighting on fire. Third down that makes third down that much more important.
Lighting on fire in a bad way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I say that as to say, you take money out of your pocket and set it ablaze, because that helps nobody, right?
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing on first and second down, it feels like, for the most part, at least efficiency wise, and when you talk about that. So third downs become that much more efficient. And what has been happening time and time again on third down, particularly with maybe sometimes protection breakdown. CJ's out here playing scramble drill. And who is he connecting up with?
Nico Collins.
Yeah.
That's the one.
That becomes a lot more difficult with everybody else. And I say that not to denigrate them, but it's just so different. And when third down has become so much more important because you have not been successful on first and second down, I have a little bit of concern that the rest of these receivers are going to be as reactive to those third down situations and helping you pick up first downs. And if you are not continuing as many of those drives, now we're in a dangerous place.
Yeah, I'm glad Reggie's bringing this up, because to me it just increases the urgency that you get better on first and second down.
Correct.
Yeah. Like, not that Reggie's point is not a good one, but let's try to avoid his concern as best
Please.
As we can.
Look, I'm with you on avoiding that concern.
Let's try to get away from these disadvantageous situations on third down.
Yeah.
Let's try to be more efficient on first and second down, whether Nico Collins is there or not, because that's just not a way to live. Like, this would be a criticism of the team whether Nico was healthy or not.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, let's get better there. But then that does, I think, again, speak to the opportunity that Tank Dell has. Robert Woods was somebody early on last year who C.J. Stroud did have a connection with on third down.
Okay.
Before the weapons around them started
to emerge. Talk me off the ledge. Yes,
and,
please.
Well, and of course, Robert got hurt as well. So, like, the team changed a little bit as the season went on, and so he wasn't that anymore. But also, this is where Stephon Diggs can make his money because, like, what's he here for then if he can't be, like, your – to me, that was, like, the biggest – check mark of the Stephon Diggs signing.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like how they were on third down last year. Like leading into that Indianapolis game, they were like 18th, 19th, somewhere 20th,
yeah.
Somewhere around there on third down efficiency. Now they were very good in that game and it helped them, you know, their final clip for the year.
Yeah.
But going into that game, they were not very good on third down and they talked about that in the offseason, wanting to be better, more efficient on third down. You signed Stephon Diggs. To me, this is where Stephon Diggs makes his money. This is where Dalton Schultz should be making his money.
Yes.
Both guys that they have paid handsomely to be there and to be reliable options for CJ Stroud on third down when a Nico Collins is not available.
To me, it's another guy that needs to make his money too. Because like as I mentioned at the very start, this kind of happened in the moment. Well, now you have a week of game planning and preparation. I've called Bobby Slowick a savant. Let's see it. Like this is where you have to be able to exploit some matchups, get Stephon Diggs in a situation, get Tank Dell in a situation where they can maybe make up that ground that you're losing with Nico Collins. I think this is as much a Bobby Slowick game as anyone.
And my big thing with Tank, okay, and Clint and I have talked about, you brought up Clint earlier. We talked a lot, he and I, about Tank being used more gadgety this year than he was last year. Like, it seemed like when he really took off, it wasn't the gadget stuff. They were using him like a, you know, like a wide receiver, dare
correct.
I say, right?
Yeah. Correct.
To me, especially now with the addition of Stephon Diggs and the emergence of Nico Collins, now Collins out, it to me kind of forces them into putting Tank back into Tank Dell wide receiver mode.
Yeah.
Like, let's do less gadgety stuff. Not to say that they won't do gadgety stuff. That just means maybe, unfortunately, Xavier Hutchinson or John Metchie are part of it, or Steven Sims are the gadgety guy. But specific to Tank, you line him up like a wide receiver
and that's slow.
And you run wide receiver plays for Tank Dell, which I am intrigued by and think can be and should be a good thing for the Texans.
Yeah, and you mentioned Dalton Schultz. You saw that start, you know, heating up in the second half. You saw him get more of those involvement. I'm not saying that they don't have the possibility to. Robert on the YouTube mentioned Dell, Hutchinson, Woods, Meshi, Schultz, Stover, Nico is out for a couple weeks, next man up. I hear that, right? And that is something that I'm sure D'Amico Ryans is saying explicitly. Next man up. I want to break down what's actually happening and what needs to happen because I looked at kind of the efficiency on third down for the teams this year, and I'll point this towards you, Lopez. Show me just where does it look like the Texans are?
Way over to the right.
Yeah, way over to the right where you are having really efficient plays on third down passing the football. Literally only two other teams have had more efficiency on third down, and that is the Commandos and the Saints. Like, third down has mattered so much. And of course I've elevated some of the reasons why. I want to see the fullness of these guys get involved on third down, but sometimes having that fallback safety guy that Nico Collins was, in addition to being the boogeyman in all those places, I hope that does not hold this team back in any way in these upcoming weeks. You know what I mean?
I think we all acknowledge that Bobby Slowick has got to be better on first and second down, but the brilliance on third down so far for the Texans has been the combination of C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins. You take away half of that, right, without Nico Collins.
Yes.
But you still do have half of that with C.J. Stroud. Let's see if you can get another half somewhere within this collection of characters that we're talking about between Tank, Dalton Schultz, Robert Woods,
make
whoever
no mistake,
it might be.
I don't want to make a habit of this.
No.
Nobody wants.
And honestly, I want to be better
on first and second down.
Right. Yeah. And I think they have the capability of doing that, right? I know someone mentioned that Tank Dell kind of had some of that relationship scramble-wise last year with C.J.
Yep.
It's kind of funny because that was
Tampa game.
That's my one concern with Nico being out of things that might be a little bit less easy to replicate.
Yeah.
But like this offense outside of that, they should be able to do a lot of the things that they already do. That's the one thing that just without Nico that I'm really watching to see if they were able to address.
By the end of the Patriots game, my hope for C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell is that they've killed the narrative that they've got some kind of chemistry problem or that they're not on the same page this year, different from last year. That's been a conversation just because CJ's missed him a couple times and they just have not found it. Hopefully by this game they have.
I like it. B. Scott hanging out for an additional bonus.
A little bonus.
B. Scott bonus segment edition. Here on a
Tuesday.
You get
a text from Parker?
Nah, man. Parker knows we're good, man. All
right, very good.
Parker knows where to find me.
And look.
In the studio.
Yeah.
I'm not far.
He can hear it on air. If he has anything to say, just send him in here. We'll get a lunchtime confession out of it. All right. It's John Lopez. Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atatula. It is In the Loop here on a Tuesday. Appreciate you hanging out with us. And as I mentioned, it is coming up time for Lunchtime Confessions. We'll do that next on Sports Radio 610.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. Watch this.
Thank you, D'Amico. Thank you very, very much. If I can't convince Cal, then maybe D'Amico can. You know, I've been saying that the H-Town blue uniform should be the primary uniform. And then you turn the deep steel blue classic ones into the alternates. Wonder how D'Amico feels about this.
What'd you say?
Oh, man. Yeah. Hey. H-Town nice. Blue. Yeah. Those are nice. We need to make that our primary uniform.
I heard that.
Those are really nice, man. They look really good in them. And mm-hmm. Those are sweet.
And Fairbairn made the kick from the H.
Hey, put a staple on. Let's go. H-Town blue for our primaries.
Dude. He's my guy. He's speaking my language here. Now, I don't think it's necessarily going to happen anytime soon. Maybe next year. But they need to be the regular home uniforms.
I think that they need to be the regular home uniforms if they go the full way that I think that they want to go.
Okay.
Those. See, if they get that, then we cooking with grease.
Well, that's on.
Well, that's not going to happen. I know. You're right. However,
a whole woman in Tennessee.
That is correct. Yeah. That is the nicest way that I've heard.
Yeah, I heard
you
we got some jerseys too. We got some H-Town jerseys, right?
Some people got.
Figured
some
you get one.
Yeah, I got one.
Clint got one.
Yep, I think so.
Sean got one.
I think so.
Seth got one.
Correct.
Yeah. What you doing here, man?
I didn't get one.
Mm-mm. Oh, really?
What's going on here?
I wonder why.
So they sent us.
Hey, what did you say?
Yours is understandable.
What did you say about them, man?
You guys, they'll get you yours. What the hell happened?
Hey, man, you must have said something bad on the radio.
I'm telling you.
I never say anything bad.
Well,
on the radio.
Well, there was that one time that you was coming at Hannah for not wearing sneakers at the season premiere.
Hannah and I are tight, man. Uh-huh. I was texting with her yesterday.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, so everybody got a jersey.
We know she has a modicum of petty to her. Don't forget that.
So the H-Town jerseys arrived.
Yeah.
People seem to like them.
But not one for me.
Hey, man, you probably had some bad takes or something that they ain't really appreciate.
And I'm the H-Town blue guy. I'm all about it.
Maybe they figure you got enough H-Town blue for you.
Maybe I do. That's interesting, though. Mm. What's up, Greg Grissom?
Mm. Mm.
Wow. This is why he talks about you.
Yep.
This is why he talks about you. Welcome back, Figgy Fig. I'm so happy you're here. I have great appreciation.
Here it comes. And you thought it was just me.
Oh, man.
Yesterday, my confession was I have no idea what to get you for your birthday. And people send in suggestions. And my confession today is I have no idea what to get you for your birthday.
Okay.
So what should I get you for your birthday? I will ask straight up. What should I get you for your birthday?
Just a high five, man. Or a cup of coffee or something. Mm-hmm. Cup of Joe.
Right.
I don't ask for much, man.
Maybe you can get him, nurse's care.
Oh, that's a good call.
That would be nice. Yeah. I need first aid yesterday. Kit.
Yeah, little nurse's care.
Some emergency.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something. Some vitamins and mm-hmm. minerals to be able to keep your immune system up. Yeah. Because we can't have you being sick on your birthday. That's
man.
A problem.
Oh yeah. Man.
Okay.
That was quite the coincidence.
I will look out for that.
Yeah. Watch this.
My man, so I was I think I saw like an article, I think it was a couple days ago, from the NP, what is it, the NFLPA,
oh yeah,
yes,
about interviews in the locker rooms, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. I gotta confess, let me be clear, I am not a journalist. I didn't go to school for it or anything, so I'm not taking a stab at anybody that has a job that they have to do. But I got to confess, I always thought it was silly interviewing people in the locker room, man. I always look at locker room as another part of the bathroom. and like I said, I know people got jobs to do. So I'm not, you know, getting on them about the job they have to do. But I feel like it got to be a better way to set up to interview these players, man. It's to me, it's always awkward being in a locker room.
So glad you brought this
up. And just imagine people in a suit and a tie,
mm-hmm,
sitting there while people trying to get dressed
and
half naked.
Or naked.
Yeah, or naked.
Yeah.
And now we in this day and age where people use their camera phones to get the content.
Yep.
And you got somebody ass naked in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they do try to change this, they got to, the NFL got to do something else to be able to interview these players.
Yeah, I think the PA suggestion.
I don't want them to cut it out totally.
Right, yeah. Right. The PA does not want to, at least according to them, they don't want to limit access. They just wanted to, you know, have the locker room be a safe space. They said outside the locker room, mm-hmm, maybe have the availability there. And Lopez, you'll have an understanding of this. Also for the women that have broken into this.
Sure.
Historically male dominated sport, they've had to deal with the discomfort of walking around in a locker room where dudes are changing and that type of stuff, and it's not necessarily the most welcoming environment. I think this could be a really good move.
It's me, I look at it as a bathroom.
This might surprise you, Figgy, but I agree. And I've been, when I was on the beat, you know, several different things, but when I was on the beat and in the locker room on a daily basis, I still didn't like it that much. Most beat reporters that get their stories, even back in the day, you get it from your phone. I used to have a Rolodex. The locker room was just game reaction and that type stuff. That's not where you got stories. I would go through my Rolodex, you know, when I was covering the NBA, and I would do it every Sunday. And just call agents and call coaches and call, you know, personnel people and call players occasionally and try to get the stories that way. No, I agree with you. It is awkward. And keep in mind, I came up when women were first getting into the locker rooms, you know, like women, you know, were really there was maybe two or three, you know, and it was awkward. And I didn't feel all that comfortable. You had to go in for post-game quotes. You can do that somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, the stories, the breaking news, you don't get in the locker room. Now, I actually agree with you on that.
I got just a quick confession to this confession, too.
Okay.
I was looking at people sideways when they were so mad and up in arms that about this whole story. Mm-hmm. It's like, bro, you want to be in the locker room that bad?
Well, I think people are worried about
access.
Yeah. If now you're not just walking up to the player and now they're like, hey, we're bringing the player to you, they can control, and they, in this instance, as teams and the league, can maybe control who you get and the possibility that you are able to talk to certain players.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about freedom of access. Now we're talking about, I guess, in a way, censorship.
You do have to have access.
Right. And so you don't want to leave open another avenue for that particular level of censorship, for lack of a better term, to be used there. But I don't think that that's what's happening here. I think we're just creating a more safe work environment, mm-hmm, and a more comfortable work environment for players.
I'm not hitting my fist on the table because I can't go in the locker room, man.
No.
I'm sorry, man. That's another part of the bathroom.
I think especially now more than ever, even whenever I do have questions with people, whether it's in the Texans building or elsewhere, I'll text them, hey, can I talk to you about blah, blah, blah? You don't get it in locker room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I do think they should still have access to the players to get these quotes and all this other stuff, but we ain't got to do it in the, we ain't got to hang out in the locker room, man.
I almost had this confession yesterday, but I wanted to let it marinate a little bit just because I thought it would just go away or people would look at it differently. I don't know if I'm on an island on this or if I'm missing something. I simply do not see what other people are seeing in this Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen post-game handshake.
It
looked normal. It looked normal. People are doing this. They're capturing images of side eye. You know, maybe he was just looking that way. And, it wasn't as long as some of the other. Are you kidding me? It was just a post-game greeting. Why are people putting so much into, they clearly don't. I didn't get any of that out of that.
If you see the actual video, you do not see that side eye like that. You really got to like stop and pause.
Yeah, I don't. Am I missing something here? Because I think it was just a
normal. It wasn't like a 5 second side eye.
It was just a normal post game greeting.
The only thing that I would point to, and I'm not speaking for anybody else because I can't speak for anybody else on this. I have not viewed this as like a big deal. And we talked about this leading into this week when Jeremy Fowler wrote the piece. Those guys were really close friends. Early on in their tenures in Buffalo. And for guys that seem to do so much together and be really close friends, that was a real quick greeting on the field.
Really?
That was real quick.
It didn't look or feel cold. I don't know
that it was cold, but it was quick, which would then make me go, huh, you didn't take the time to like stop and talk. And to be fair, you might not, right? Sometimes if you're moving quick, yeah, we'll catch you
later.
They're
walking. Everybody's walking up everywhere.
Maybe they had plans to go to dinner, right? I don't know, right? I'm just the speculation at this point. But it did feel like, at the very least, for me in that moment, I was like, huh, that was pretty quick. All right.
Maybe I am missing.
Not as close. But also, one thing that I recognize, and I think players will tell you, it's one of the things that players talk about when they are no longer playing the game. They miss being in the locker room with their guys, because when you spend so much time with your teammates, you really become family. And if you don't have that closeness, and we've all been there, right? You move jobs, you move schools,
and
whatever.
It's over.
And friendship is not nearly the same way, and not as strong, I guess, as you had previously believed, because you're not close. And I do wonder if, okay, maybe those guys just aren't as close of friends because they don't work together anymore.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think that's okay. But it did seem like that was a quick interaction.
Okay. Watch this.
These are my confessions. I did realize that my other confession was something I already brought up. So let's talk about it again. I know Xavier Worthy know how to fight. I just know it. Because I did not see it when he first handed the football to his mama in that game where the Kansas City Chiefs won Monday night and Monday night football against the Saints. However, when I did see it, I was like, oh, God. She is pretty.
That's one way to put it.
She is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And one thing I know, there's a few things that I can, few things about a person or a young man in particular that will make you, that will let me know immediately, oh, he probably could fight. First of all, if you are short and you are advancing very quickly in your field, particularly in sports, oh, I know you was fighting. Because I know people were talking crazy about you. Like, I think it's more about us as a society than about that individual. Because if you are short, and you're playing like organized sports, I know us well enough to know we was cracking on you, right? Like, we crack on the little guy. We're not good about this.
Yeah.
And then if you got a fine mama, I know young men, young boys, we're not good people, right? Like, we're just not. We're going to say outrageous and outlandish things,
and they're gonna pick at the scab consistently.
And you're gonna have to fight.
Yeah.
And so I know he did, and I know he has, and good for him.
Yeah.
I'm proud of him.
Fine mama and fine sister, man. If you have a fine sister,
yeah.
You getting picked on, man.
You good? I'm hearts and minds clear. There we go. Those are some lunchtime confessions here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Tuesday. Coming up next, it's Tuesday, so we will get into college football on a Tuesday. Let's talk about what was a blood week. A lot of ranked teams lost in that game. Lost in that weekend, rather. We'll talk about that more next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
God, I love this song. All right, you're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a Tuesday. I forgot my other confession, and that is that Shams Charania makes me feel like I am not accomplishing enough in my life. Shams Charania, now the senior ESPN NBA newsbreaker, I guess, for lack of a better term. I don't remember what the actual title is. But he is all of 30 years old. Count him. He's lived on his own for 30 whole years. He turned 30 in April.
That is insane.
Yeah. And now he is basically the head of ESPN's whole NBA thing.
I think he's going to do more than fine just because, you know, agents and scouts, they feed it to you a lot of times when you're the national guy at ESPN.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's going to bust his ass, too. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, that's how he started, man. That's a dude who started when he was basically in high school, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Living in Chicago, the Chicago Bulls would not let him get access. So he drove to Milwaukee to start getting interaction. Like, this dude, grinder.
But don't be mistaken. I mean, his sleep patterns are done. Over.
And he already was on the grind. He tweeted yesterday, I think just after or during the show, that he was now the new ESPN senior NBA insider. And then just hours later at 9 p.m., Let us know that Orlando Magic center Wendell Carter got an extension. So he's on his grind. Yeah. He is on his grind.
He was going against Wolves too, man.
Yeah, man. And holding his own.
Everybody can't do that, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's get into college football, though. That's enough about the NBA and my not feeling like I'm accomplishing enough. but let's talk about college football on a Tuesday, because this week in college football that we went in and we're like, I'm not that interested in on this program, ended up being a blood week. And what a blood week is for folks that are not initiated into the everyday should be Saturday universe of college football folks is just a week where a ton of the, I guess in this instance, we call blue bloods or whoever, whoever's at the top of the rankings and such fall. And we had number one, Bama losing to Vandy. Number four, Tennessee getting whomped by the Arkansas Razorback. Shout out to Clint Sterner. Your Texas A&M University Aggies handling up on Mizzou, and they did it in a fantastic way. Washington beat Michigan in a new Big Ten battle. Minnesota beat USC.
Yep.
SMU beat Louisville. Louisville, who I felt was a little bit of a paper tiger, to be completely honest. And then, if you want to count this, on Friday, Syracuse beat AP top 25. UNLV, who had just slid into that top 25.
Count it. Yeah.
Count it. Just crazy, crazy, crazy weekend. Which one outside of A&M was most exciting for you?
Well, of course, Alabama and Vanderbilt. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. Diego Pavia, the quarterback, what a great story he is.
Yeah, Diego Pavia, dude, who was at New Mexico State.
Yeah, yeah, and he's on the team, so I'm happy for him. He's Hispanic. He's a Mexican-American.
Ah, okay, when you said on the team, I was like, yes, that's obvious, but my bad. I did not understand your intention.
And I was just enthralled with the whole, as we talked about yesterday, the whole goalpost thing. But that's the one side of it, is Vanderbilt. The other side of it, we heard yesterday on the Paul Feinbaum show, And you and I had this discussion before the show. Like, Kalen DeBoer is about to find out. He's about to find out what it's like, really like.
I have a feeling he knows in some ways.
If
he didn't know in a real way, now he knows in a very, very real way. This is Paul Feinbaum's show.
You better wake the hell up and realize where you at, because we don't play that down here, brother. You might get away with that in Washington, but down here in Alabama, we don't play that. We'll send a U-Haul to your ass if you lose to South Carolina. You better stop worrying about last week's game and get your ass focused on the game coming up at Alabama. The honeymoon's over. Wake the hell up. You know what this is equivalent to, brother? This is equivalent to coming home and finding your wife in bed with the neighbor.
No,
you could never trust her again. You might stay with her for the kids' sake, but you could never trust the woman again.
He's speaking
and the
experience.
Same thing's true with Coach DeBoer. You can win a natty. We can't trust your ass now. You just proved that you can beat the best and lose to the worst in a two-week friggin' period. You don't lose to Vanderbilt. That's the ugliest little sister on the block.
First of all, that sounds like if it was Larry and Stafford, but he was from Tuscaloosa.
A little bit.
I can hear that.
Yeah. It's very much Larry in Tuscaloosa there. His name is Legend. He goes by Legend, and he's been quite the Alabama fan. But secondly, there's a lot of truth to what he said.
No, absolutely, right? Like, he seems like a caricature, which a lot of Paul Feinbaum's callers do. Just passionate. SEC, it means more. Mm-hmm. But, like, no, he is absolutely right. It's one of those things that I always try and illustrate whenever I get the opportunity, even when Nick Saban was there, which is, you got to remember, expectations matter in college football. It's not just about, oh, man, you're winning games, but what are you expected to do in that space? And at Alabama, you're expected to win every damn game, and maybe you can win, lose one or two. Go ahead and lose three games, two seasons in a row, and see what happens.
Like.
And that's talking about Nick Saban at that time. Kalen DeBoer, you don't got skins on the wall over there. In fact, it was kind of funny. When they lost that game, I immediately thought, man, those folks in Tuscaloosa probably on a wild ride, because they went with after just beating Georgia.
Georgia, yeah.
And like immediately, I think, feeling really good about DeBoer and where that program was to then losing to Vanderbilt. And there it is right there, right? Like immediately they are already jumping out the gym with threats of sending U-Hauls, which, by the way, very nice, because I imagine that they would send a lot more things, which are bricks through your window. That's the first thing I went to. And so, yeah, expectations matter a whole bunch. And in Alabama, their expectations are kind of crazy, but also people have kept doing it. It's something I said to you before the show. they ran off Bear Bleeping Bryant from that program.
Yeah.
They don't give a damn about who you are.
They still have Tennessee. They have South Carolina this week, which is, they'll probably drub them given, you know, that they just lost to Vanderbilt. But South Carolina's not bad by any stretch. And they got Tennessee. They got Missouri.
Not as tough. They've been messing around.
They got LSU at LSU. And they got Oklahoma. And they got the rivalry game against Auburn. He loses 3-4.
It won't be fun. It won't be fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, shout out to Kalen DeBoer. I always thought it was interesting. Yeah, shout out to Legend, of course. But when he took that job from Washington, I was like, oh, boy, I hope you know what you're getting into. And He did not make it easy on himself losing to Vandy. Literally the first time that Vandy has beaten an AP top five team. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, good luck with that. As we continue talking college football on a Tuesday, one of the things that I tried to, you know, highlight going into this weekend was maybe a game that wasn't a great watch necessarily, but a great one that would have been a great one to keep up with. Do you remember what game that was?
Boise State?
Boise State, Utah State. And in the course of that game, Ashton Jeanty, who was the running back at Boise State, native Texan, by the way, Boise State beat the brace off of Utah State, 62-30. I said that maybe he'd go for 400. Unfortunately, he only went for 168. Now, all of that was in one half of football because he did not tote the rock after the second half. And you know what my response to that was? Do you want a Heisman candidacy or not?
Oh, he's got
right? He is, in fact, now the leader in the Heisman candidacy, like when it comes to the betting odds. Mm-hmm. However, if you want to make sure.
Got to get 200 at least.
Let him do it. Like, I understand.
Two carries would have done it.
You don't want to run him up too much, to be fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right, actually, two carries. Because he got a majority of that on a few carries. Yeah. It's kind of pedestrian in some of those places. And then big, big, long runs in other situations. But I'm like, look, just go out here and let him hoop.
Yeah.
Can we do that, please? And maybe that's not sensitive by me because you don't want to injure the man. He is basically the entirety of the team right now.
But you also have his best interests, as in Heisman Trophy and stature of the program and everything in mind. You know, I if he does any semblance of what he's been doing and does not win the Heisman, they should just call it a quarterback award.
But we're already well, not only a quarterback award, but a quarterback award at a very small select.
The premier programs. That's it. Because the last one to win it was Derrick Henry in 2015. If this cat, you know, just keeps doing what he's doing, anything close to what he's done. Keep in mind, he has over 1,000 yards.
95 carries.
On less than 100 carries.
95 carries, 1,031 yards, 16 touchdowns.
Think about that. Less than 100 carries, he's got 1,000 yards.
Insane. Yeah. So shout out to that. A lot of things happen elsewhere in college football. I don't even know if I can get to all of these things, but one of them that also came through was what I called Coke versus Woke, which was the Calgarithm. Cal football, California football, Cal Berkeley. They had a college game day.
They had their ass too.
Man, Marshawn Lynch had a blast out there. He said he didn't know which coach did he say he ain't know nothing about? Mike Elko.
Okay.
He said he don't know nothing about no Mike Elko, but he did pick them to win in college game day, so he was successful there. They had the game, and Buddy Cal was putting it on Cam Ward in Miami for a long time, to the point where I was staying up late. I was up till maybe like 12:45 watching this game.
I went to bed.
I thought it was over.
That's oftentimes my favorite game to watch is that late one. But yeah. I was with you. I thought it was like, okay.
It was too late.
Yeah.
It was too late.
Yeah.
Like, we can't see this all the way to the end. I went to bed thinking that Cal did it, you know, adding to another one of the upsets in Blood Week. Come to find out, Cam Ward and Miami Storm back?
Yeah, I woke up that morning like, wait, they won?
Yeah, they won.
I still don't even know what exactly happened in the course of that game. I kind of don't want to know because I feel like it's going to make me sad because I still want to enjoy the Cal football of this all. I think Jed Fish is doing, Jed Fish is at Washington. I think that they're doing really good things out there with this program. Cam Ward just continuing to show that he himself is an incredible football player, even if Miami has a program. Still a little bit unserious.
Yeah, I think, and maybe we'll get to this on Friday, you know, some of the things you probably shouldn't overreact to. I was with you guys. Generally, I like to just sit on my chair and late game and have a sip or two and just kind of revel in the day. But I called it when it was out of place as well. Can I do a quick shout out to Baseball Spo?
Yes.
How about Indiana?
Oh, yes.
How about Indy?
Ashley, all right.
Anna.
Not all right. 6-0.
Yeah.
In the Big Ten.
And they got a badass coach.
Kurt Cignetti?
Cignetti is just a badass coach. He was asked about it, in fact.
When it comes to that culture, you were just talking about, meshing the recruits you're getting and some of the guys you kept. Where does that process start? I mean, what
do you mean? I don't get the question.
Well, when you recruit them, how do you sell your vision of your culture? I mean,
who are you talking about? The high school guys, the transfers, who?
All of the above. I mean, how do you?
It's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
That was him when he took the job.
I win.
Was that a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
Before last season?
Yeah.
And now, bona fides, 6-0. 6-0 Indiana. In fact, I call him Windiana now.
Yeah.
Shout out to Baseball
And by the
Spo.
Way, yeah, Baseball Spo at Indiana. Proud Indiana alum. Loves to hate on the football program, but he ain't doing it this
can't
year.
Can't do it this
ain't
year.
Ain't doing it this year. By the way, side note, I bet you Legend is already calling for Cignetti to be hired.
No.
That is an Alabama coach. That cocky, Google me, I win.
Nah, that's an Alabama coach when they win, and when they lose, and they'll fire him into the sun.
But I'm saying that's the kind of stuff that Legend loves.
No, you know what the kind of stuff that Legend in Alabama loves, which was something that Greg McElroy was actually telling a story about.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a video of this this weekend. I don't know when it happened. It might have been a while ago. But after the national championship, they win the game. And so Greg McElroy's carrying the crystal ball into the locker room. He's post-coital, right? He's just euphoric. And then Saban comes in and he's like, seniors, y'all did a great job building this program over the last 4 years, what have you. You guys earned this. You need to celebrate this. Everyone else, that is not how we finish a football game, and we will go get that fixed on Monday when we get back. This is after they win a national championship game. He's out here coaching the second half because he feels like they did not do well enough. And that is exactly the mentality that you have to deal with Alabama, because those people are psycho.
Yeah, national title's good, but man, we got to get to work.
Yeah, because here's the thing. If y'all play like y'all did in the second half, we're going to lose three games. I'm going to lose my job next year Alabama is wild. That's why. And that's college football on a Tuesday. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, let's get back to your Houston Texans, where I think, maybe, just maybe, we might need to have a Bobby Slowick run game intervention. We'll try and do that next.